God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Glory to God. Supernatural Life Church, are you excited? Are you happy at what God is doing? Glory to God. Father, we thank you. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you have started to do. Your word says that whatever you began, you are faithful to complete it. Father, we thank you for this church. The expansion will continue. The house will continue to grow. And every individual will continue to grow. In the name of Jesus. No one is permitted to remain small here. No one is permitted to remain ordinary here. The grace that is growing this house will also grow your life. In the name of Jesus. Many will think you look young, but you'll be doing great things. The things that take others 10 years to do, you will do in 10 months. In the name of Jesus. If you receive it, shout it louder. Amen, somebody.
Emotional tonight because if I please be seated. Can you hear me? Yes, they can hear me. Like I was saying, I'm a bit emotional tonight because this is literally what I saw when I stepped on the, I don't know if I said it there or I said it to you when you came to the hotel. I'm not even sure. You said it when you came to the hotel. I told them I saw the wall where you were, the last place you were. As I stood up to preach, I saw the wall behind collapse. And I saw a multitude. And I saw them sitting in amphitheater style. I told you. So standing here and seeing what God has done. Only our God that will tell us something before he does it. Yeah. I dare any other God. It's only our God that will tell you I will do this thing and he will do it. I think we need to celebrate God one more. And I think we need to celebrate your pastors for their obedience. Because this was a faith move. An absolute faith move. And I honestly don't believe that some people are sitting down to celebrate God like that. My God, that you are sitting down to celebrate like this. Praise God.
Yeah, please sit down. We are so excited to be here. Just like I said in that video, that we'll be here again. And it will not be in that venue. I also want to prophesy again that we'll be here again. Hallelujah. And it will be multiple services in the name of Jesus. Listen, I don't want you to feel that you are too young or you are too small. What God is doing with this church, God also will do with your life. We're on a mission here this week, so whatever you do, don't miss tomorrow and make sure you bring. I want this whole place to be jammed tomorrow. So whatever you do after today, call people, tell people, go pick people, whatever you need to do. I want this hall to be jammed tomorrow because we're like marking off a new season over this house. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And it's not a coincidence that we're talking about love and money. We're also going to raise multi-millionaires from this assembly. We're here to release that grace. You will look young, but the things you will do will be more than your age. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Listen. God is not a localized God. What that means is that God is the God of the whole earth. He's not limited to what is happening in your geography. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So whatever you do, please don't miss tomorrow. We are going to prophetically release you into a fresh grace that you'll be amazed at what God will do in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come on, one more time. Let's jam our hands together. Please take your seats. All right, so today we're starting the series Love and Money. Before we start, I have, between the last time we came here, was it November? Okay, so between November and now, I have two new books out. All our other old books are still available at the back. If you don't have them, you can get them. But there are two new books out from that time till now. This one is a bestseller. It's been selling everywhere in the world. It's titled Seven Things I Badly Want to Tell Women. Are there women in this house? I can't hear you. Are there women in this house? So after about 25 years of counseling women, these are seven things I badly want to tell women. So if you're a woman in this house, get this book. The foreword was done by Florence Alakija, the richest black woman. You know, so you need to get it. I shared seven things that I feel are important for every woman to know. So wherever you are, please make sure you pick a copy. And as usual, tomorrow we'll sign some books after the service again tomorrow. So if you buy, please make sure you bring it for us to sign and autograph it for you, if that's what you like. All right, but please buy for somebody, buy for any woman. If you're a guy too, buy for your babe, buy for your mother, buy for your auntie. Praise God. Yes, it's a book for any woman. Praise God. The seven things I badly want to tell women. And besides, if you don't like the content, my face is in front of it. So you'll be seeing my picture. Praise God. And the second one is 2-in-1. It's titled How to Know If He or She Really Loves You. You know, we talk about serving breakfast all the time. This is anti-breakfast book. You'll be breakfast proof. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So what we did in this book is like it's 2-in-1, how to know if she really loves you on one side and how to know if he really loves you on the other. So it's two books in one. So whether you're male or female, you buy the one, read the one that concerns you. If you want to read the woman's one, so you can. If you want to read the man's one, but it's two books in one. It's a good for you to buy for yourself and for somebody else. What we did there was that many people don't know what true love is. We live at a time when, you know, love is very confusing. And it's not our fault. Music has their own version. Movies have their own version. And so everybody's confused as to what love means. But what we try to do is that we try to separate the feelings of love with the facts of love. You see, when it comes to the feelings of love, or let me say this, when it comes to fake love and real love, at the beginning, they all look alike. That's why I like dogs. How many people like dogs here? You're a dog person or an animal person. I love dogs. I've always had dogs since I was young. I remember my first dog. His name was Jack. It was a car that killed it on my street. So I've always loved dogs. But at a stage in my life, I stopped buying dogs as puppies. Because at puppy, every dog is cute. Do you understand? If I ever bought dog on the express road before as puppy, it's very cute. All dogs are cute when they are puppies. It's when they start to grow. You will know what you bought. It's not what the man said it is that it really became when it grew. Some dog, when they grow, instead of barking, they talk. Some dogs, if you think it's dog, when you grow, you find out it's antelope, you bought antelope. So at puppy level, yeah, so at the stage, I started buying dogs as adults. So I buy it food, can he bark, can he fight? I remember my friend, Fela Duruto, used to have people jumping. He lives in VGC, so people were jumping into their fences and all that, stealing things, so he was bothered about it. I said, it's very simple, buy a dog. If you buy a dog, nobody can jump into your fence. So it's okay, you know what, Pastor K, arrange a dog for me, because I'm a dog person, I'm a dog plug, you know. You know, I said, at the time I had 17 dogs in my house, 17. I'm a dog person. Praise God. You will hear some of those stories today. We're talking about love and money. My first wedding gift to my wife, we had not even finished paying for a reception hall. I bought two dogs. You will hear, Jimmy's love and money we're talking about. We will just do all those things. So,
I've been through a lot. So.
Yes. She has. She will just do all those things. I was very financially responsible. We will just you guys those things. So I was a dog plug. So Fela called me and said, hey man, okay, arrange a dog for me now. So I brought one dog called Shaka. If you hear the name, you should know. By their name, you shall know them. The name is Shaka. That dog was like a lion. It was a babble, massive dog. If you even see his eyes, his face. And I, you know me, I don't buy puppy again. I buy adult. Can he fight? Can he bark? That's what I am. I want to see dog in action fight. Buy. Not that you go and buy puppy. He's cute. When he grew, he not turn to antelope. His mouth gone long. Pass. No. I've suffered those things before. I bought Shaka, adult dog. Only problem was that Shaka was very, very wild. When we brought Shaka to the house, to even bring it down from car. Shaka nobody come down. All of us just say, they bring up Shaq, please, can you alight from the vehicle? It didn't come down. And nobody was scared. Nobody could go near it. So the only thing, later when I got an idea to bring, I had a female dog. So when I brought the female dog, so when Shaq saw the baby, ah, see baby, he came down. He came down by himself when he saw female dog. You know, so finally we delivered the dog to Fela's house. Great, beautiful. Nobody was could jump into the compound. The only challenge was that people couldn't from outside come in. People from inside too. They can't go out because you dare not pass. Shaka doesn't know anybody. He don't send anybody. Nobody must pass here. So the children couldn't go to school. Family couldn't go to work. They can't come out. So Fela said, come and carry Shaka, please. We are terrified in our own house. So I came and I took Shaka away. And I brought Underdog. That was the most useless dog. He kind of liked it at the beginning, but that dog, it doesn't even stand up. That's the kind of dog that will open door for arm robber, if arm robber comes down. And even escort them to where they... I mean, it was... That. So, the baseline of all these gist I'm giving is that at the puppy stage of both real love and fake love, everything feels the same. Everything feels the same. You will have attraction. When it's real love and when it's fake love, there will be attraction. Somebody get what I'm saying? When it's real love and when it's fake love, there will be excitement. Somebody get what I'm saying? When it's real love and fake love, there will be connection. But there is difference between the feelings of love and the facts of love. So what I broke down in this book is how to know if he loves you. If he's a guy, there are 7 things a guy must do for you to know he loves you. Beyond this, your feelings. If he's a girl, there are 7 things to know that she will do if she loves you. Beyond your feelings. So I broke it down. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I tell guy, I don't want to go into the book. I'll just you down tomorrow. But buy the book. Let's not waste time on that one. So, do an intro now. Love and money.
Guess what's the intro? I'm supposed to have
okay. All right. So basically, of course, I know you already know by now that money is important. How many people know that money is important? Money is important, guys. We can't even have this service without money. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? We can't have it without money. Money is important. All right. And it can never be overemphasized. Can never be overemphasized. And of course, statistically, money is one of the things that always causes quarrels in marriages. Money is one of those things that causes quarrels in what? Marriages. A lot of homes have been rocked because of financial, you know, issues. And it starts from how you manage yourself and your relationships at these beginning stages. See, poverty is not good. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Poverty is not good. No matter what you do, please make sure you handle the money aspect of your life. Money, see, there are some things you can miss the class. There are some courses you can miss the class. Do you understand? I did Yoruba in SSC, in WAEC. I did Yoruba, and I was not born again then. So I had already planned I would sit near a Yoruba speaking person, and he would just give me the answer. Now, we had already planned, all of us sat around the person. The only problem was that some useless people around us that were sat down the person were now making noise. When you are copying, you copy silently. There's a way to copy. I was not born again then, please. So don't try this at home. So we had already planned. Say, at least confirm C for add it to our YEC 5 credits. When they were now making noise, the villager now came and sat down on top of my desk to monitor those making noise. I thought he would stand up in 5 minutes. When I saw that this man is not flying to stand up, I submitted my empty sheet and went to. You understand? There are some courses you can play with like that. There are some courses in life you can play with. Money is one of those courses. You can't play with money, no matter who you are. Life, to be alive costs money. As you are alive here now, you are wearing clothes, you've eaten today, you are going to drink water. Those things are paid for. It might not be paid for by you, but it's paid for by somebody. Are you getting what I'm saying? All right, so there are some courses in life. There are some topics in life you can't be too busy for. You can't be too spiritual for. As powerful as Jesus was, he paid for things. He paid. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? It's not everything he prayed for. Some things he paid for. So you can't play with money. And when it comes to love and money, mixing them without understanding them will cause an explosion. So you must get the money factor right. So what we are going to do today, we want to, should we do the couple thing first? Are there married couples here? If you're a married couple, can I see your hand? If I'm a married couple, if you don't mind, stand. Just stand where you are. Let me know. As you are married. Okay. Now, if your spouse is not in this service, if your spouse is not in this service, sit down. If your spouse is not in this service. Okay. So we want to call a volunteer couple. You look like you will call. Because every other person, those people are carrying their babies. We won't want to call them offstage. Which other people? Okay. Is that your wife? No. Okay.
Wife, where are you? Okay. No.
So let's call that couple. Is that okay? Do you guys want to, can you volunteer yourself?
Two people now.
Yes. Oh, yeah, come, please come. Let's put our hands together for them.
Two people.
Please come. Okay. Is there another couple? Want you to come? We can do one more couple. Which other couple want to volunteer? Any other couple that wants to volunteer? Oh, yeah, come now. You're looking so nice. Please clap for them. Come on the stage. Yes. You're wondering what you want to do. Yes. We want to finish you, whatever it is. Please keep coming. Can we clap for them? Keep clapping for them. We will need sheets of paper.
And pens.
And pens. Somebody should help us with 4 sheets of paper and pens. Somebody's wondering what they're going to do. It's trouble. Whatever it is, it's not going to end well. Just, it will end well in Jesus' name.
Ladies, please, can you come to this side?
Yes, so ladies, come this way. Because the man is already asking you, go, what I need to do? Tell me your account number. Tell me everything. Tell me everything I need to do. Just 4 sheets of paper, if you can, and a pen. Is my bottle of water. Is there space? Yes. You are too far. Let somebody bring it. Can we have the 4 sheets of paper? Just bring the ones you have. They'll bring more now. Just sheets of paper and 4 pens. Okay. So, we're going to do... How long have you been married? 5 years plus. Ah, he's a bros. Eh? 9 months.
They should have the answer. The 9 months should have the answer.
I don't know. Okay, so the question is this. First, the first thing you are going to do, write me on top of your... I hope you can write. Do you need some support to write or you can write? Please, they need... Sorry, we are going to disturb you a bit. They need jotters or something to put it up so that they can write a bit easier. Just jot us. Please remember who you're taking it from so that you return. All right. So the first thing you do. All right. Quickly. What you're going to write me on top. Write me on top. Just write me as a heading of your own. Me. Or husband, if you're a husband, if you're a wife, write wife. So that it'll be easier for us. So if you're a wife, write wife. If you're a husband, write husband. Okay, so underline it. The first thing you're going to do for me is, if you receive 50 million naira now, if you receive 50 million naira, what are the things you're going to do with it?
Top three things you're going to do.
Top three things. If it's more than three, put more than three. But
yeah.
And you have just 2 minutes to do it. If you receive 50, hello, everybody. If you receive 50 million right now, what will you do with it? Somebody say, I'll buy suya. I'll just go and buy 5K suya first. 500K for suya. With cold malt, chilled malt, to think of what I'll do with the remaining 445 million. All right. All right. It shouldn't take you long now. All right. On the line. Okay. Have you done so? Do you think you're done? Are you done? So underline under that thing. Write under it. If I don't want to add anything, that's what I'm... So underline right under it. No, don't give any space. Okay. So now... Write wife. So what's your wife's name?
Rhoda.
So write Rhoda now as the next title. Under it. Just give some space. Rhoda, next time, you write your wife's name, you write your husband's name. So now, if your spouse receives 50 million, what will they do with it?
If your spouse receives 50 million,
he's
not dead. Like,
the 9 months old, he got and get family issues. Wait, and they try so. Right, what will she do with it? Oh, yeah. So are you gonna check their own and I'll check this? Oh, you? Okay. All right. We do this exercise so that we'll know. I don't want to give them, so let them finish writing first before I say what I'm saying. Okay. So are you? This one, guys, one is long. Are you done now? Are you done, guys? Okay, so we do this exercise to know couples that are talking, couples that are planning, couples that are agreeing together. That's what this exercise is about. Because many couples live together, they never plan. They never talk. They never pray together. They don't plan together. So we want to make sure you are talking. You're writing something. You just remember something now.
Yes, you pens up.
Pens up, please. All right, so can you submit? So let's start from the ladies. Don't write anything again. Yes. So we'll check. Okay, guys, you can give me your own.
Oh my God.
Okay. So. So these are the two guys. Where is them?
So who is Kelechi?
Who is Kelechi? So your wife's name is what?
Lauren.
Okay, so that's.
Okay, so these two.
Okay, so.
Okay, so who should we start with? Should we start from youngest to oldest?
Oldest to youngest.
Oldest to youngest.
If the oldest fail, the youngest will not be getting panicked.
Youngest, Abby?
Yes, they are junior.
Okay, so youngest. Youngest is Rhoda and...
What's your name?
Boyega.
Boyega, yes.
Okay, so Boyega says if he gets 50 million, he will tithe, he will...
Does he attend this church? I don't know. But that tithe is important. Boyega, say we tithe. So we're setting 5 million... In the church account.
Amen. He will give out some and he will start his clinic.
Okay.
Your wife said you will open a clinic. She says you will buy a house. She says you will go on vacation. So you are not going to tithe, sir.
But all this is inside 50
so
million.
It's one over
I think the first thing he will buy is gone. To get the remaining money for this things. Because only 50 million will open clinic, buy a house, and go on vacation. Now gone, you go first buy.
So, so Rhoda, okay, so he says.
So if Rhoda gets 50 million.
Rhoda says when she gets 50 million, she will go for a PhD. She will buy a house and she will go for vacation. So it's obvious
that she wants to go for vacation. Wait, guys, she wants to go for vacation.
It's obvious that she wrote what she wants, not what he what she thinks is what she wants him to do with the 50 million that she wrote. Okay. He says she would tithe. She's not going to tithe though.
She's not planning to tithe. The two times she don't mention tithe.
He says she will tithe, she will give and she will start a business, a mall. So you're not listening to her.
You're not listening well.
She wants to go for a PhD.
And vacation.
Vacation. And she doesn't want to pay rent again. She wants a house.
House.
So, obviously, you're not listening.
Clap for them. Clap for them.
Take your evidence. Pay your title. Okay, so Lauren and Kelechi. Kelechi says he will buy a house, he will take his family for holiday, and he will buy shares. These things are so funny. You know why? Because wives have planned the family without talking to them. So she says that he will buy a car. And she says you will invest in a business. And she also thinks you will relocate with the family. However, on the other hand, he said, okay, so she said that she will invest in property. She will relocate with her family.
Okay, so that one, they don't plan that one.
And she will establish a business. He said she will relocate.
That relocate is sure.
Yes, very sure. She will acquire more certificates and she will go shopping.
Rhoda.
No, it's Lauren.
Lauren, Jerry.
Yeah, Lauren. So obviously, he knows that she wants to relocate.
I'm telling you.
But apparently,
they still talk about it today.
Apparently, she's not. I mean, the things, everything he wants, she didn't write anything.
What are the things he wants?
Buy a house. Mm-hmm. Take his family for holiday.
Not to relocate.
Not to relocate. And buy shares.
But if their passport lost, they will just stay. But what did she think he would do?
She wants him to buy a car. She wants him to invest in a business and she wants him to relocate.
How will you buy a car, do business, then relocate? It doesn't work together.
So you relocate, do business there,
and buy
the car there.
Wow. Can we clap for them?
All right.
Thank you. That's good, Abby. Thank you, guys. God bless you. God bless you. Let me shake your hands. You are blessed. Your dreams will come to pass.
Amen.
Your dreams will come to pass. Amen. In Jesus' name. Please help me appreciate them. Let me appreciate them. Let me appreciate them.
But this exercise, as simple as it looks,
yes,
is very important. Yes. Because these are the things that cause problems in marriage.
Yes.
So two people are working together, but they are not really working together. Yes. Because they don't know each other's dreams.
Dreams.
So yes, you are making money with the plan to relocate. Your husband is making money with the plan to settle here. Those are the things that cause problems in marriage.
Yes.
So the reason why we do these exercises is to get you to talk to each other. It's very important that you talk to each other. You know what each person's dreams. And you must agree.
Yes.
If you don't agree, the dreams will not come to pass as quickly as you want them to. So one person wants to relocate, the other person wants to stay here. So your angel is coming with answer. Which answer should he answer?
Yes. And the Bible is clear, what two shall agree upon is what shall be established. So you are literally not maximizing the power of
agreement.
Your agreement if both of you are not on the same page. So it's something every couple should do from time to time. Say, if we get 100 million, what are we going to do? You should know it. You know, because who knows, God can open the door. Yeah. And that money will come, and even more than that. All right? Very, very important that you communicate, agree together, pray together. All right, we're going to ask everybody their own questions. So everybody, whether single or married, these are questions you should answer.
So are you guys ready? Okay. So I need you to ask yourself these questions.
Yes.
Because
just answer for yourself.
Yeah, just answer for yourself. Even if you are not in a relationship. If you are in a relationship, answer. If you are not, still answer with the consciousness of one day I'll be in a relationship and this is what I would expect. Mm-hmm. Okay, so number one, two things you do when money is given to you. Top three things you do when money is given to you. Once you receive money, what do you do? Top mm-hmm. three things. Don't write what you don't do, what you do. So you shouldn't be thinking about it. When somebody gives money, what do you do? Mm-hmm. There's no right or wrong answer. So yes, just write what you do. Mm-hmm. Okay. Number two. Should I go ahead? Okay. Number two. Who does the money belong to in a marriage, husband or wife or both of you? I say wife. In a home, who should determine how the money is spent? And if you're already married, who determines how the money is spent in your family? Okay, next one. If for any reason the other party's income stops, what would you do for that person? Number one, would you give them money? Would you wait to be asked? Would you spend your own together, or you would just give them a monthly allowance? Okay. So if for any reason, the person you are married to or the person you are in a relationship with, the person loses their income stops, they lose their job, something happens, their business, whatever, folds up, what would you do? So would you give them a monthly allowance? Would you just spend your money together? Would you wait for them to ask you when they have the need? Or would you just be giving them money randomly? Should I go on? If you are married or you are in a relationship, what's your view on how your partner spends money? If you are already married or you are in a relationship, how does your partner spend money? What's your view on how your partner spends money? Are they good with money? Are they bad with money? Are they reckless? Are they savers? Are they... Please be objective. Tell yourself the truth. Nobody's going to look at these things. Tell yourself the truth. It's very important that you face the truth at this stage. Okay? If you are married or you are in a relationship, who is more financially prudent? Who is better with money? Say the truth. Who is better with money? If you are in a relationship, who pays the bills now? When you go out on a date, who pays the bills? Okay. And when you get married, who should pay them? Okay. When you are to give away money, especially for the married people, who decides? Who decides where the money should be given, how much the money should be, and to whom the money should be given? So for instance, if you have maybe a family member who wants money, who decides? Or if there's a project in church, who decides? Do you do it together or does one person decide? Final question. Do you want to have a joint account? Okay, this one, we should take votes for this one. Okay, so please, this one, I want a vote. I want to see your hands. If you want...
Sound, but it keeps going off. Hello, all right. House is off too. Okay. All right.
Okay. Yes. So please, we want to take a vote.
Yeah.
If whether you are single or married,
yes.
If you're already practicing or not, just put up your hand if we ask a question. If you will have a joint account or you want to have a joint account, can I see your hand?
With your partner. You want to have a joint account?
If you want to have a joint account with your partner.
Don't lie, God is in your hand. Not that tomorrow now you change mouths.
Okay. If you don't want to have a joint account with your partner, can I see?
Okay, if you don't want to have a joint account.
Okay. So can we do a quick...
Yes.
Yes. So can I have two people that want joint account and two people that don't want?
Yes, and you can...
Please volunteer yourself.
You can give us your reason.
Please. Just volunteer yourself.
One male, one female.
Okay,
if possible.
Come. One male, one female.
Which one are you?
Which one are you? Joint. Which one are you?
You don't want joints.
Come. Joints, please come. What are you? Joints. You are not. Okay, so joints, come. So I need one guy who doesn't want a joint account as a man.
A man, you don't want joint account. Please come, come and say, present your case now. Don't be afraid.
You don't want. Fantastic. Thank you. Please come.
We're not. Are we complete now?
Yes.
Yes. No.
Yes, we are.
One more female. Look, you are what? Disjoint. You are what? This. You are joint. Joint, stand like this. Disjoint, stand like this.
Disjoint too. Disjoint, stand there.
Okay, so follow. Take her. Two of you. You fit yourself.
What's disjoint?
I'm just. All right. So just marry yourself, since both of you don't want joint account. We need mic for them to debate, please. Mic.
Let them use our mics. So that will be faster, yes.
So okay, in
just in 1 minute, short,
why do you
sharp,
think?
Why don't you want?
Okay, why do I want? There's a reason. I don't want because, example, if I'm married to a man that does not know, let me say that money being fixed in that account is for the kids' expenses. And I know that when he's broke, he might go there and pick that money. I don't want that.
Let's clap, let's clap, let's appreciate them.
Let's take one person on this side. So why do you want a joint account?
I think the...
One house, guys.
The basic reason to have a joint account is to enable me to secure the future for me, my wife, and my children.
Okay. Yeah.
In what way? Don't do it, Joro. In what way?
Okay. When we say joint account, we're not having a joint account to spend money from there.
Okay.
We are saving money for critical issues.
Okay.
So you don't want to save for critical issues. You don't want to save
don't
for
worry,
critical
issues. Don't worry, let them talk to just joking.
I'm joking. No?
Yes.
Okay. I'm the kind of person that...
One house, guys, so that you can hear what they're saying.
I love doing things on my own. Hold on.
Let him land now.
And when it comes to money, I'm very, very, I'm careful. I don't just spend any hour. So I rather have my own money myself, right, than to have a joint account where I know, okay, if I don't want something to be done, I know it's not really necessary at that point in time. I don't want an issue with my partner. I believe that if I have my own money, it's not monitored in a way, I can surprise my wife at any time. That's just my mindset.
Don't complain. His wife is not complaining. Everybody, don't worry now.
That's okay.
His wife is not complaining. All right. Good one. Okay.
Okay. I actually support having a joint account. I believe it helps cohesion. It helps planning. It helps transparency. And it's a check on both of them. So, and not having a joint account doesn't mean you will not have your personal accounts. I mean, you have salary accounts. We already have accounts as single people. But this joint account, it brings for me a sense of uniformity. And I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. So just to clarify, this joint account you are talking about is only savings for saving.
Not necessarily for me.
You want everything together.
Not just for saving. We have projects. You can decide to carry out projects from the family, and it will be from the joint account.
Okay. So everybody will bring their money, Sha.
Everybody will have a portion they put in it. And again, you can't just talk about spending carelessly for you, because I know that a joint account, there are signatories, and the couple are signatories. So nobody takes out money without the check of the other person.
Thank you.
All right. Can we put our hands together for them, please? I appreciate them. Praise God. Are you done?
Yes, sir.
Are you sure? Praise the Lord. I can't hear you. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's leave the debate. We're done with the debate for now. We're intentionally doing this class like this so that you can see how people actually think. A lot of times we just teach and we assume people are listening or agreeing. Meanwhile, they have their own mindsets. If you notice, the lady that was wearing brown, that was not for joint, she has already calculated her husband's behavior.
Yes.
I wanted to ask her, are you married? Have you met this man already? Have you met the man already? He's already behaving badly, except you have met him already. But if you have not met him already, it's not nice to have already planned what he's going to do. Praise God.
I'm also concerned about the fact that...
Is he working now?
Yes.
All right.
Okay. I'm also concerned about the fact that you are okay with knowing that somebody has very bad financial habits and you want to still go ahead. You know, that's a big concern for me. you know. So it, for me, it's still not even about money. It's about your mindset. And that's the real problem with money in marriage. A lot of people have funny mindsets about marriage. So you've already planned yourself that I will manage. So far, I'm a man. I could just manage him. If he has bad, I will protect myself. Why go into something that is going to be a problem tomorrow? Why don't you pick well from the beginning? So she's already made that adjustment in her head that this guy may have a bad spending habit. So I don't even want to go there with him. So you've already divided yourself.
So what we're going to do in this evening service is to just look at some mindsets that we need to work on. All right? Believing God that this will prepare you for where you are going into. So number one, first thing you need to all have as a mindset as regards love and money is that God is my source. Come on, say that with me. God is my source. Very important. One of the things that brings tension financially in a marriage is when one person is associating the provision of their life to a human being instead of to God. God is your source. The only person that promised to meet all your needs is God. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? You must remove your eyes from any man or any woman and put your eyes on God. God is your source. Don't marry someone because you think they are the key to your financial breakthrough. I'm telling you, it's a very sneaky mindset. Pastor, I didn't know. You know, when they talk about the seven capital sins or the seven deadly sins, laziness is one of those mentioned there. And I used to think, how are you people putting it? We're talking about sexual immorality. We're talking about killing murder. We're talking about greed. You people are bringing laziness into it. Why is laziness here? Until many years, I began to see the lifestyle in human beings. One of the things that we are most successful to is laziness. Most people would like to earn money without working for it. The average person who wants to pass exam without staying up to read. He wants to get answered prayer without learning to pray or knowing God. Let somebody just pray for him. My own is to shout amen. We are looking for the, this is why betting is selling. Because you just want to do minimal work and get maximum flex or maximum cruise. It doesn't work like that. Laziness is a sin. There is nobody that is your source except God. And the Bible said the same God is rich unto all that calls upon him. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? DJ, give us Romans chapter. I call the book that put scripture for me, DJ. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Romans 10, 12. You have it on the screen. Quick, put it. So God is your source, not that man, not that woman. Don't marry anybody with the mindset that they will rescue you from poverty. I always see girls, sometimes guys, they say things like, I never marry a poor person. Look at it here. He said, for there is no difference between what? The Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is what? Rich unto what? All that. God, that means God is able to make every one of us here rich. You don't have to say, I must marry a rich man. That mentality and mindset is saying that you are a poor man. And you need a rich man. There's nothing stopping you from being rich. Every time I counsel ladies, especially guys, to have that mindset. When I counsel ladies that tell me, I must marry a man that is rich. I said, no. What you need to say is that you want to be rich. Don't misconstrue it with you want to marry a rich man. If you think you want to marry a rich man, you are assuming that he will share his money with you. You are assuming he will be generous. There are many rich men that are wicked. There are many rich men that, yes, at the beginning when they are wooing you, they are buying you car, buying you everything. At some point, they will just say, I'm not giving my money again. Some of them will just carry their bag and walk away. Some of them will divorce you. So what will happen at that time? There are many people today that married a rich man and they are homeless because the man has left them. What if the man even dies? God forbid. But what if anything can happen? So you can't just sit down and say your dream is to marry a rich man. Did that same God that made them rich can also make you rich? What you really want is that you want to be rich. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So you must eliminate that mindset. People that marry because of the mindset of I want to marry somebody rich, the moment they start getting their own money, they find that they don't really like this person. Don't marry someone because they paid your school fees. School fees is not dowry. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I've seen these things. Sometimes it's even men. There's one particular guy I know like that. He's in his third marriage or so. And it's money that made him marry all the people he married. Married the first one. When he started, see, if you marry somebody that's a millionaire, the day God starts blessing you and you become a millionaire, you find out that you don't actually find that person attractive. It was their money you like. Now you have money. And you find out, I don't want to live with this person. So he jumped from the first marriage. The moment the money she was making was no more big money to him. or he lost, or she loses her income. Then the married on that one too that promised big money. When the money finished too, he left. He has been jumping like that. It's a trap. Either that person will can lose their income, or you can even get to a stage where you start making money. You now find out you are stuck for life with somebody you don't like just because they had money. See, money that is big to you today will not be big to you in 10 years' time. I'm told that's why we're here this weekend. I want to enlarge your mind. Money that is 10 million, that's why we use 50 million. A time will come in your life. 50 million will be something you write in one check and give us a seat. Oh, there are not many people in that realm here. A time is going to come, your tithe, you will pay tithe of 50 million. I'm telling you, sir. I'm telling you, sir. So get to that stage where you don't see money as your God. Let God be God in your life. Abraham, when he was coming back from the war, they wanted to offer him all the riches of the world. He said, I will not touch even a shoelace from this money. He said, lest you say you are the one that made Abraham rich. He was so sure of his covenant with God. Listen, there's a covenant of prosperity on your life. Whether you are male or female, whether you are young or old, God, you and God, if you're a born again Christian, you and God have a covenant of prosperity. There's no need for you to subject yourself to marrying somebody you don't like because they are rich. You too can be rich. Oh, I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's what we're here to release this weekend. Whether you're male or female, you'll be controlling millions and billions in the name of Jesus. So, number one, God is your source. Stop beefing your partner. Stop hating somebody that didn't load your phone. Stop hating somebody that didn't pay for your Uber. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? God is your source. Say it with me, God is my source. Alright, so that's the first thing, first mindset you must have. Alright, my husband is not my source. My wife is not my source. My father is not my source. My mother is not my source. Because they're people that even enter marriage and they're still expecting their parents to take care of them. God is your source. And this God is rich. Come on, somebody. I said, this God is what? Rich. There's nothing too hard for him to do. Trust me, Nigeria's economy does not weaken him. Oh, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying. You can be a multi-billionaire if you are ready. Because from his own end, he's ready. He said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And he added no sorrow. You don't have to sweat for it. You don't have to inconvenience your life for it. You will prosper cheaply. Are you getting what I'm saying? Tomorrow I'll talk about the first millionaire that was raised in our ministry. Was a student. And it was a multi-millionaire. So don't see, there's nothing stopping you. Even being a student doesn't stop you. Don't say, I'm just in uni. I'm University of Abuja. Look, God can prosper you there. The covenant of prosperity is not irrespective of your location. Oh, I don't know if somebody's getting what I'm saying. So why would you say, I can't marry a man that is not rich? You're already belittling yourself. You're already thinking that they're going to acquire you like a piece of furniture. Look, ladies, when you are coming, you're going to bring something when you are coming. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? I'm praying for you, the young ladies here. You will not marry in a generation where they will be telling you, you will leave my house today. Yeah. Or where they will be telling you things like, I will not pay your transport. Or I will seize your car key. Because they are the one that bought the car for you. Some of those ladies you see that they buy Range Rovers for, they give them long range slap inside the Range Rover. There are many women that are staying in marriages they should not stay in. Because if they leave, they can't even eat. They can't afford to. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So, number one, God is my source. All right.
Okay. Number two, every human being must work. God is not a magician. God is never going to throw money from heaven for you. God expects that you will work and that he will bless the work of your hands. So, when he made man, the Bible says he made mankind. That word man is not just male man. He's male man and female man. And he blessed both of them. And he told them to multiply, he told them to fill the earth, and he told them to take dominion. He expected both of them to walk with the blessing that has been released on them. So these days, it's very sad for me when I see people, just because they want to get married, you know, they just shut down their lives, shut down their dreams, I'm getting married. I remember when I lived in Port Harcourt for about a year and a half, about 2 years. And I remember one day, so it was one girl that came to our office, and so a couple of people were talking about her. And so I just walked in innocent. Then I said, oh, really? What does she do? They say she get boyfriend. I was confused. I said, she get boyfriend. Boyfriend at work. They say, Lydia, she has cash, she has house, she has everything paid for by this guy. And this is somebody that ordinarily would have been able to bring something to the table. Once that relationship was over, the guy collected everything he bought. Yes. It's his own. Who pays for something is his own. It's his own. He paid for it. So at this stage, if you are going to enter into a relationship where you're already married, you must understand that every human being, as far as you are an adult, as far as you are a living being, you are expected to work. In fact, the Bible is so clear on it that 2 Thessalonians 3:10, the Passion Translation says, "For when we were with you, we instructed you with these words." It says, "Anyone who does not want to work for a living should go hungry." He said, "If you will not work, don't eat. Don't come into marriage with the mindset that somebody else is going to pay all my bills and me, I'm just going to relax." When you're coming into marriage, you're expected to bring something to the table. You're not expecting for a man, and women especially are guilty of this. I hear so many women say, "Don't worry, my Boaz is coming." And my question is, you're expecting a Boaz, are you a Ruth? A lot of times when we tell the story of Ruth and Boaz, most people focus on the fact that, oh, she went to him, she went to lay at his feet. You know, they almost make it seem as if, oh, women should propose. That's not the focus of that story. How did they meet? Did he meet her twerking? He met her working. She was busy. And she was working so hard that he passed by and said, "Who's that young girl? Who does she belong to?" Those were his exact words. His foreman now said, "Oh, she's the girl that came back with Naomi and all of that." And so he greeted her. And you see, the interesting thing was, he greeted her and told her, "Oh, we have heard so many great things about you. May the Lord give you a full reward." He blessed her. And then he said to her, "Don't worry, I've told them, if you need to keep working with us, keep working here." She kept on working. Then when it was lunchtime, he took her on a date. Go and read that story. He took her on a date. The MD took her on a date. And after that, the Bible says she went back to work. She didn't now decide, I've arrived. MD is now toasting me, went for lunch the other day, and we had some business discussions. No, she went right back to work. So as a woman, don't feel entitled. I see too many young girls entitled. The argument they were having the other day that they started dragging themselves on social media, not me, was that I said that if a woman asks you for transport money, you shouldn't marry her. Why will you be planning to go on a date with someone? You are planning to enjoy his company as well, and he should pay your transport money. Which presupposes that you are poor. Because I'm assuming that you are also driving down to wherever you are meeting with your car. These are the mindsets that keep women small. You just think that a man will marry you and acquire you as property. As Pastor Gil always says, people, there's a way men treat property. How many men today, when you were going out, did you tell your chi, "I'm coming"? Did you tell your door, "Take care of yourself, I'll be back soon"? Okay. If you are furniture, you'll be treated like furniture. If a man acquires you like furniture, you'll be treated like furniture. You can't pay your own bills. You can't load your phone. You can't pay for your Uber. This generation, my heart bleeds for you, because most people in this generation don't even know anything about vex money. When I was growing up and I was dating, vex money, you hold your money in your pocket so that when you get there, you order with your full chest what you want to eat. And if the man cannot pay, you tell him, "Don't worry, I just came to have fun, I will pay." But these days, you wait for him to order Uber for you. If he does not order Uber for you, then you get there. You are now shaking to order. You are hungry, but you are not sure what he can pay and what he cannot pay. Those days, if a man tells you, "Okay, we finished dinner, let me take you to my house," you tell him, "Get out of here." And you order your Uber, or you bring your car key and be going home. But these days, you are at his mercy. Because if he says, "Let me take you to my house," you say, because you can't go home. You can't go home. So as a woman and as a human being, every human being is expected to work. Because both of us are supposed to bring what we have to the table, to work together, to build our future, raise our children, build our dreams together. It's not supposed to be one-sided. Even though God is our source, but you must also be a willing channel.
Third mindset you must correct. That's the mindset that men should provide in the family. That's a very common one, but it is not biblical. It's not scriptural. What has happened? You need to understand the history and the background of that concept that men should be the main provider in the house. It is cultural, but it's not scriptural. All right, it's a cultural concept. It was never designed by God, and there's a reason why. In those days, they were trying to work on Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5 says, husbands, love your wife, and you wives, submit and respect your husband. So what they wanted to do, they were manually making sure Ephesians 5 happens. If you notice, most men those days married, they were way older than their wives. I mean, if you know what I'm talking about. Most times, if you check your parents, you find out that there's a significant age gap between your father and your mother. Now, those things help respect to happen naturally, because this man would have advanced in life. So most likely, he would have been settled in his career or field. All right? He'll be in a position to take care of his wife, and the wife will be in a position to respect him. So they are manually making sure that the respect and love thing is happening. Now, unfortunately for us, we are carrying that cultural mindset. But today, men and women that don't have that age gap. Men and women, women can even get a job first before the person she wants to marry.
A better job, sir.
Sometimes both of you can be working, and the man's the woman's tithe is the man's whole salary.
Yes.
So this is why, if you look at those countries where women have equality and all that, marriages are crashed there easily, because this cultural mindset cannot survive in 21st century. It's because we're building on something that was never God's design. God never said anywhere in scripture that the man must be the main provider. The main scripture people quote to try and push that idea is from 1 Timothy, where it says, he that does not provide for his house
is worse than an infidel.
That was never what God was saying. So we're going to look at it. DJ, please give me 1 Timothy chapter 5. So let's look at it. You must always read scripture. Read words before the verse. Read words after the verse. Never pick a scripture out of context. All right? If you pick any scripture out of context, you know, you become a con. All right, 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 1. DJ, I need to move in as fast as possible. Is that possible? Because we're going to read down to a couple of verses. So what was happening here? You know, Timothy was a young pastor. How many of you know the story? Timothy was a young pastor. Apostle Paul was his father in the Lord. So Timothy was pastoring a young church. Apostle Paul was coaching him on how to pastor. So this was Paul coaching Timothy on how to run a church. So see what he says. He said, rebuke not what? An elder. So he was telling Timothy, look, when an elder misbehaves, don't just rebuke him anyhow. He said, but instead, entreat him as what? A father. He was teaching him how to run church. He said, and the younger men, treat them as your what? Brothers. Brethren. Next verse. He said, the elder women treat as what? Mothers. And the young girls treat as what? Sisters, with all what? Purity. Timothy was very young, probably not married here. Very young guy. So he said, you have to be careful how you deal with sisters. See the next thing. Say, honor what?
Widows.
He was teaching church administration. So verse 3, we started talking about who?
Widows.
I can't hear. Who are we talking about by verse 3? Widows. Say, honor widows that are widows what? Indeed. So who are we talking about? I can't hear. You're not sure. Who are we talking about now? You know, we started with men, elder men. We started with younger men, elder women, younger women. Abi? From verse 3, we entered what?
Widows.
So verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home and to requite parents, for that is good and all that. Who are we still talking about in verse 4?
Widows.
I can't hear you guys. Who are we talking about in verse 4?
Widows.
See verse 5. Now she that is a widow indeed and desolate, trusted in God and continues to pray at night. Who are we still discussing here?
Widows.
Verse 6. But she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Who are we still talking about here?
Widows.
Verse 7. And these things give in charge that they may be blameless. Who are we still talking about here?
Widows.
If you are not sure, you will see verse next verse. But, have we done verse 7?
Yes.
Okay, so see verse 8. But if any provide not for his own, especially those of his own house, he had denied the faith and is worse than what? So stop here. Now, the assumption many people have is that this is talking about marriage. If you notice, we've been talking about widows since. Am I correct? How did we jump from widows to marriage? This is not marriage. And if you notice, they didn't even say husband. They say if any. So take note of that. I'm going to explain. They say if any doesn't provide for his own. So let me explain and we'll continue. What was happening was that they had a lot of widows. In those days, when you were a Christian, you were kind of isolated from the community. If you've read Acts of the Apostles and all that, you see that they used to kill them. They used to share food in church. All right? It wasn't offering they were using to share food. It was everybody bringing food from their own house and we'll share it to everybody. Many people think it's offering that way. No, it wasn't offering and tithe. Everybody was bringing food because we were kind of isolated. We were like an endangered people. Somebody get what I'm saying? So, they had widows there and church was taking care of the widows and the church couldn't continue taking care of all the widows. It was coming too cumbersome. So, Paul said, you know what you're going to do? Tell people that have relatives that are widows. If you're a male or female, if you have a relative that is a widow, you take care of that widow. So that the church can take care of all the widows that nobody is taking care of. That was the problem. So, let's continue. So, note verse 8, we'll come back to it. See verse 9. Let not what? So, verse 8 was about who? We have not left the topic of widows. Never left it. Nothing about marriage in that verse at all. Verse 9 says, let not a widow be taken to the number under 60 years. 60 is 60. So if somebody is young, if somebody is younger than 60, they shouldn't even be called a widow. They should go and work. Or they should go and remarry. He said, having been the wife of one man, he says, well reported for good works. They're just saying, if she's younger than 60, she shouldn't come and sit down for us to take care of her. She should go and continue her life. Life is still on. You know, say report of good works and all that. If she had lost strangers, if she has washed strangers' feet, if you leave strangers and all that. Next verse. It says, but the younger widows, who are we seeing? What's the topic?
Widows.
We're still on widows. We've never left the issue of widows. But the younger widows refuse them. For when they have begun to wash one thing against Christ, they will still what? Marry. That means let them go and live their life. Having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. Next verse. It says, without they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not idle and last another. Who are we talking about here? Widows. Next verse. It says, I will therefore that the younger women, who are we talking about here? Widows. The younger women, they should bear children, guide their house. Not a question of advice to speak, others are like, go to next verse. For some are already turned aside after Satan. Next verse. If any man, or what?
Woman.
This is the expansion of verse 8 that we read. They expanded again in verse 16. If any man or woman that believeth, that is born again, have what?
Widows.
Who are we talking about, guys?
Widows.
If any man or woman have widows, let them do what? Relieve them. And let not the church be what? Charged. That it may relieve them that are widows indeed. This is an expansion of verse 8. Saying, if you have a widow, please take care of the widow. That's what verse 8 was saying. There's nowhere it connects to marriage. So there's nowhere in the Bible. There's nowhere in the Bible that God says the man should be the provider. Nowhere. Now, it doesn't mean the man should be irresponsible. That's not what I'm saying at all. The point is that...
Please repeat that. Sorry.
Yes, it doesn't mean the man should be irresponsible. Because we'll get there. Because some men will say, no. If you go to... See, if a woman is under her parents and they're taking care of her and you want to go and marry her, what you're telling the parents is that from now on,
I'm going to take care of.
That's what we're signing for. So I'm not in any way saying a man should not be responsible at all. But I'm saying don't come with the mindset. You see, that's why women have been maltreated for years. Because both the parents and the husband and everybody, they are treating them like a commodity that we're shipping off to another person. So anything you see there, let the man be controlling. No. It's high time we marry women and know that this is my partner, not my footstool. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? If they acquire you like furniture, they will treat you like furniture. And that's what has been going on for years. Women are not handicapped. You see, this mindset is what makes women not to be productive. Most women have the capacity to make more money than men. But because they've told them a man must provide, they bend their hand like this and they come. So now you go buy, give me transport. When that thing was trending, I was so ashamed for my country. It's only in Nigeria those things can trend. Because abroad, if a woman is even going on a date with you, she's not assuming you will pay. You guys will share the money.
Yes.
That's the assumption. She's not going to assume you're going to pay for the date. It's only in Africa. And you see, when you come on a date with that mindset that they will pay, that's why you will feel the need to offer your body. Because they paid for food. What do I have to offer? You will pull your cloth. That's the only thing you have to offer. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? Because most guys, if they are paying for things like that, in their mind, they're assuming you're going to sleep in their house this night. It's the assumption. This is what women have presented themselves to be as commodities and items that men can use. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? So don't package yourself, but there's nowhere they say you as a woman. See, go and read Proverbs 31. Can that kind of woman, can they be giving her transport? Go and read that. That woman was in all kinds of business. She was a business mogul. She was in real estate business. She was in fashion business. She was in food business, agriculture. She was logistics. She was in all kinds of business. Shipping and all that, importation, exportation. So imagine how rich she was. The person that wrote this book, Seven Things I Buy on Hotel, because there's a chapter here, make your own money. I told you, man. There's a chapter here. The woman that wrote it is Florence Alakija. Many young girls don't even know her. They know people that twerk, but they don't know Florence Alakija. She's the richest black woman in Africa, and she's almost the world self. So imagine if you had that, there are many women like that that could have been doing great things, but they just think, oh, my own job is to stay in the kitchen. No, some of you are graced to make billions and millions. Don't let anybody just keep you in one corner as an item. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? All right, so there's nowhere they said the man alone should provide. You must always work as partners. And listen, ladies, men respect you different when you make your own money. I can tell you for a fact.
Yes.
Men respect you different. In our parents' time, any small thing, they'll tell you, man, you pack out of my house today. If two of us buy the house, if you vest, you go on that room, I go on that room. Nobody's packing out. And somebody getting what I'm saying?
If two of us are angry, we travel abroad.
If two of us are angry, we travel abroad. We both leave the house. Yeah. It's not that one person will say you are packing out of house and they will not call your uncle to come and beg for you to enter the house. Because you are a piece of furniture.
They can gather your load into a box. I'm just imagining if they want to move me out of my house now.
Bundle you
out. It will be easier for him to move out.
Yes. Yes. A man respects you differently when you are a woman of substance. There's a way he can't talk to you. He can't say, I won't give you chop money. You know the woman you can threaten with that. Therefore now, since you are rude to me, come and see where you get money. All the ladies know, may you never be in those kind of situations.
Amen.
May you not be that kind of woman that they will threaten with chewing gum. That won't buy you chicken. You must be so blessed by yourself that you can buy your own things. You can go on vacation by yourself. Not that somebody is taking you to Dubai to sleep with you. You can pay. Is somebody getting what I'm saying? And go by yourself. So that mindset that women have has many women that could have done business. One lady told us that her perfume business is no longer moving, so she wants to marry. I don't know if you understand. Because marriage is on that form of business. As this business is not moving, make her just marry. Go and check those people that marry a man and they are not doing anything. Go and check how the dynamics works out in the long run. You know, I'm a counselor, so I'm giving you the gist. At the beginning, it looks like the man is spending, buying her car, buying her clothes. Many years after, when the emotional distance has died, the man is now looking at the practicality of you, your wisdom, your sense. And many women suffer. As the years go, the man is no more giving money. So the woman is married to a rich man, but she doesn't have money. She can't buy things because the man is now maltreating. Those men, if you don't marry a second wife, what will you say? You can't even argue because you can't even pay rent. You can't move out. So go and check most of those marriages where the man is super rich and the woman is super poor. At the beginning, it looks okay. Go and check 5 years, 10 years, 20 years down the line. The man is misbehaving. The woman can't talk because she can't even eat if she shouts. She can't eat. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Women, you make your own money in Jesus' name. It's important. Though. Okay, so the next one. Marriage. Finances in marriage is not 50-50. It's not 50-50. It's not 50-50. In fact, marriage as a whole is not 50-50. The problem and the challenge when you come into marriage with the mindset that marriage is 50-50 is that after a while, you will become resentful. Because what God expected, okay, he said, it's not good for this man to be alone. I'll make him a helper. Then he went on to say, this man will leave his father and his mother, and he will cleave to his wife, and the two of them will become one. God expected that you will come as a whole person, and this person too will come as a whole person, and both of you will join together and become another one individual before God's eyes. Pastor is going to talk about covenant in a bit. But there are days in marriage, okay? There are days. The Bible says that two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. And it says that sometimes when one is weak, the other will be able to pull him up. It says when one is cold, the other will be able to keep him warm. That's what the Bible says. So the Bible is trying to tell us that there will be days when I will not be at my max level of my 100%. If this person was only bringing 50 and I was bringing 50, then if my 50 falls short, it will affect the home. It will affect the marriage. But if I'm bringing 100 and he's bringing 100, if my 100 is not up to 100, we still have 100 we're working with.
So God's plan, ultimate plan in marriage, is that both of you will bring a 100. See, when it comes to sharing money, if you think about marriage as 50-50, that means that you're looking at marriage as a contract and not a covenant. That's usually the problem. Most people want, in fact, what people want today is not really marriage. It's not marriage. People just want, first of all, a ceremony so that they can change their name. An official ceremony so that my name can change, so that people can respect me. That's number one. Number two, people want to just have a legal way to be having sex. If you are born again, you just don't want them to look at you that you are a fornicator. So you just marry. But people don't want to do the actual work of marriage. So a few minutes ago, when we were asking those questions, the young gentleman over here said he likes his things to be done. And I'm not trying to be insulting or anything, I'm not trying to be funny. These are just some of the mindsets. So we have people who will not mind being married, but they don't want to be husbands. So he wants a wife, but he doesn't want to be a husband. He doesn't want to stop being a bachelor. So what people want to do is remain bachelors in a marriage, and that can't happen. So once you come into a marriage, it means that you are bringing everything, assets, liabilities, what you like, what you don't like. You're going to come in and lay it all down, and I'll bring my own. Same way there are things you don't like. There are things you don't like. And if all of us do, there are things we don't like, you won't have a marriage. So you can't say, oh, there's a way you want to spend your money. Mm-hmm. That totally negates the idea of marriage, because marriage in itself is covenant. And I don't want to get into what Pastor K is going to talk about, but the truth is that when it comes to marriage, God expects that everything you have, you bring it. Yeah. Everything he has, he brings it. And two of us no longer have individual things. Yeah. That's real marriage, Joe. I know there's Instagram marriage, where we take pictures together, we do selfie, we look good. But the real work of marriage, we don't want to do it. If you want to have a real kingdom marriage, the way God planned it, God's plan is that you bring everything and you surrender everything, and we work together, not apart. Because you can't say, you want to have your own money. See, if you have your own money, the same way you want to surprise your wife, you can surprise her positively and negatively. Because you can, when you have money that nobody's asking you what you are doing with it, you can use it to cheat. And she finds out, she'll still be surprised, just that it won't be a pleasant surprise. So sometimes, even having that money together, that putting everything together, being accountable together, helps us to keep accountability. I know what you're doing, I know what your thoughts are, I know what your plans are. Once you start separating money, you start separating your lives. Once you start separating your lives, you don't have a marriage. And it doesn't just end with money. I'm also talking about church. When people say things like, oh, I worship in this church, my wife worships in that church, it's only a matter of time. There will start being cracks in that marriage. So when it comes to marriage, you have to bring 100%. When it comes to sharing money in marriage, it's not going to be about law. It's not about I bring this person. It's about love. It is love that will compel you. This woman, love will make you know that this woman has needs. Much more than... So Pascal always gives that example. And it's so true. I'm always fascinated when we're traveling. So when we're traveling, we pack 2 boxes. Let me rephrase that. I pack 1.5 and he gets the other half. Because we all know when he's traveling. 1 black shoe, 1 brown shoe. We just put it in. Mm-hmm. So now I start looking. My earrings are this color. My top is this color. I'm wearing 3 black outfits, but I need 3 different shoes for it. So I'm wearing blue, but I can't wear navy blue and royal blue. I can't wear turquoise so I have to mix it up. And then if I'm wearing stripes, I want white shoes that have black bow. And tomorrow if I'm wearing white, I want white shoes that don't have a bow. So you see, I'm going to pack at least 7 shoes for his 2 shoes.
Yeah.
The same thing goes with when we are shopping. We can't share shopping money equally.
Yeah.
Now, it's not about law. You know, if we say, oh, let's just do 50-50, yeah, you will give me the exact same money, but it's not going to work because my needs are more.
Pastor said,
That That one entered. Yeah. That one entered. Send me my honorarium later. I just preached for your good. So it's never, it's more about generosity than responsibility. Sometimes, you know, just being kind towards the person that you love. Now I have to face you and preach. Being kind towards the person that you love. So many times when we're traveling, we don't share shopping money equally. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even shop on every trip. Even though when he does shop, it covers. Because the wristwatch he's wearing can be like 7 of my outfits. Do you understand? Well, so it's not every time. But that wisdom in knowing that, oh, we can't say because we brought 50-50, we must share 50-50. No. It's about love. I know what his needs are. There are times when he needs to buy an expensive wristwatch, and I just sit back and I'm happy to have my Apple wristwatch that I wear with every outfit. And I'm okay. There are times where he needs to buy a power bike. Needs. We buy it. So that when I want to travel with my children, he will also respond to that need. So it's never going to be 50-50. There are times when you will have more needs than the other person. They can be emotional needs, they can be financial needs. There are times when you are even too immarried, there are times you'll be too tired to pray. There are times, I'm telling you, if you just, for instance, if you just had a baby, you are exhausted. Let me tell you, you want to pray, but you don't have power. The way all of you are looking at me, I'm very strong. Me, I was tired. There were times I was really tired. And those days, all I wanted to do was just lie down and sleep. And in the sleep, I would hear somebody with his hand on my head. Malekerebo shatter. I would just say, amen, amen, amen. I beg, I cannot keep myself, amen. So imagine if I'm saying, if he says, oh, we're bringing 50. I'm bringing 50. When it's your time to praise him. No, it's 100-100. When this person has need, when they fall, the other can lift him up. When you are cold, the other can keep.